Well, to all you moms today, we just welcome you again. I know it's already been said, but happy Mother's Day. To all of you who are moms, to stepmoms, to single moms, to those who have tried to be moms, but unfortunately that has not happened, we want to honor you today. And we want you to know that you are seen and you are loved. To those of you who, like me, maybe have lost your mom, as I did this year, first Mother's Day without my mom, that's going to be a little bit different. But I am so grateful for her and her influence in my life. And as Melody was speaking, if you are interested in fostering or anything of that nature here in this church, we just believe, as you saw on the stage, in the next generation and caring for those around the corner, around the world. And so there's going to be a QR code that's going to come up on the screen. If you want to know more about Loving Families and the partnership we have with them, you can do the QR code on your seat, or you can do that on the screen as well. But we are glad you are here today. Melody said this one line in the video. She said this: "I didn't become a mom the way I envisioned or the way I wanted it to happen. I became a mom the way God intended it to be." What a great line. I became a mom the way God intended it to be. I think the mother of Jesus could have said the same thing, don't you? I don't think she became a mom the way she envisioned. I don't think it was the way she wanted it to happen. I don't think it was ideal for her. I mean, she didn't even have a lot of options when God came to her through the angel and said, "You're going to carry the Savior of the world into the world." I mean, think about it. All the things she had to go through before Jesus was ever born, telling her fiancé, Joseph, that she was pregnant, to the rumors around town, to the ridicule, to the laughter behind her back. She endured so much. And I don't think it was what she envisioned. And I know this: what makes headlines today in the news is the same thing that would have made headlines back in Jesus' day. Because it's the scandal and the scandalous. Mary would have been front and center on the cover of the newspaper. She would have had a child that was conceived without sexual relations. And then she actually would claim that it is supposed to be the Savior of the world. And just like in our day, when that hit the newspaper or the media, people would have read it, and then they would have read into it. They would have read into it all sorts of things that maybe weren't there, and maybe would have failed to notice the most important things that were there. And I don't think Mary became a mom in the way she ever envisioned, but she did become a mom in the way God intended. And I think God's word has something to say to every single one of us, ladies, men alike. The question is, are we willing to listen to God and his word? Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to be this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn there. Luke chapter 1. And if you don't have it, it's going to be on the screens in front of you in just a moment. But Nazareth, where Mary was, it was a village 70 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It's a tough town. It was a town known for its corruption and low morals. But you see, out of this dark town came the one who would turn darkness into light. And let me remind you as we begin today, no matter where you are or what circumstance you find yourself in, no matter how dark your life might be today, God is always preparing a way to bring you out of that darkness and into his light. The question is, will you let him help write your story? Because God's not done with you. Chapter 1, verse 26, here's how the story begins. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So Luke, right here in the beginning, the writer of this story, tells us in great detail. He says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Well, what is the significance of in the sixth month? Well, I want you to let you know one thing, that the detail is there for a reason. And I love the detail because I believe that God is interested in every detail of your life. God knows and he cares about you. Every detail matters. There is actually significance in the insignificant. He knows your name. He knows your circumstances. He knows your children. And there's something always with God going on that is bigger than what you can see or understand in the moment. Elizabeth, you might ask, well, who is she? Well, she was Mary's cousin. And she was 6 months pregnant, which is really important, because she was going to give birth to John the Baptist, the one that would later usher in Jesus Christ. This six-month-old who was still in the womb of Elizabeth was going to go before the Savior of the world and prepare the way for him to share the good news and the hope, the forgiveness of sins through salvation in this one Jesus. So in the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, you see, that detail matters. And everything matters about you because God knows you, He loves you, and He created you. Verse 28, it goes on, the angel went to her and said, hey, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. If you have your Bibles, you might want to underline that sentence. You have found favor with God. If you don't hear anything else today, I'd love for you just to remember this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, as a daughter or son of the Most High God, you are highly favored in the eyes of God. You are highly favored in the eyes of God. Well, what does it mean to be highly favored? Well, let me put it this way. Favor was not for you, but it was put on you for God and His purposes through you. See, favor was not for you, but it was put on you for God and His purposes through you. See, favor is about His plan being fulfilled through you so He can, His glory can be seen all around you. My middle daughter, Sophie, she graduated last week from Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. And there's a picture of our family at her graduation, and it is awesome. She graduated with a music business degree, and she went off the payroll last Saturday. I got a raise. It was perfect. She is already gainfully employed. She started a full-time job in January, so super proud of her and super grateful that I got a raise. It is all good. But my brother and his wife, Michael and Denise, were there with us, and my brother is graduating, he's retiring, it's kind of like graduating, he's retiring from full-time ministry after 50 years of serving in the church, 50 years. And if you don't know, in my family, all three of my mom and dad's boys were pastors. I'm not sure how that happened, not sure if that was a blessing or a curse, but it was what it was, but there were three of us. And my brother and I kept talking about God's favor on us as a family. And it wasn't about anything that we had done. It was about everything that He had done in us and through us. And my brother served faithfully for 50 years as a pastor. And we just began talking about where we are compared to where my parents were and my grandparents. I mean, my grandparents are from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and my other set were from Fredericktown, Missouri. Neither of them traveled very much further past those towns. And then to pass it on to where my parents lived and what they did, as my dad was a plumber for 45 years, and he had a great business, but basically St. Louis was it. And I looked at Michael and I, and Michael and I have been able to travel the world and watch God do amazing things by being in the ministry. And we had gone further than my mom and dad and further than our grandparents. And now I'm looking at my kids, and I'm looking at where they are, and they are further along than I was and have done more things than I ever did. And they have opportunity awaiting them. And I believe this, it is not about anything that we have done. It is about God and who He is, because they have decided to surrender their lives to Him. And I'm watching Him use them in ways I could have never imagined. And the same thing is for me. You know me. Been here 31 years, and I was just a trumpet player playing trumpet at Disneyland. And God called me into ministry. The favor of God is on you. If you are a daughter or son of the Most High God, it's just not about you. Some of you, what you think the favor of God is that you have been successful in life. And so many times through our education or our natural gifts or our ability to work hard and be successful, we come to the conclusion, even if it's subconsciously, because we have success, we have the favor of God on us, which can actually cause us to live like we really don't need God, because we've made it on our own. But what we really need to understand is God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us and all we have to offer him. What he needs is for us to realize that favor is not about us. It is about him and for him. And here's what I know, living in North Orange County. Most of us have managed to create an extraordinary life for ourselves and live an ordinary life for Jesus Christ. We've created an extraordinary life for ourselves, but managed to live just an ordinary life for Christ. And somehow many of us have bought into the lie of the enemy that this life is all about you. Your comfort, your status, your position, your paycheck. And Jesus then is just kind of tossed into the mix. You see, favor you've forgotten is his. Because if you can do it, and you can pay for it, and you can solve it, you get all the credit, and he doesn't. Which is why the story of Mary is so important for us to hear today. I just want to remind you, God's not looking for your ability, but your availability. God's not interested in your success, but in your submission. And some of us miss out on God using us because we're too busy building our kingdom that we become unavailable to build his. And the angel comes and says, hey, Mary, you who are highly favored, but it's not going to be in the way you think. Because being highly favored is going to be extremely painful and hard for you. But Mary, don't be afraid. God is with you, and his favor is all over you. What he needs, Mary, is for you to be available right now to fulfill the purpose and the assignment he has designed specifically for you. And what is that design? Well, most of us know, but the angel continued in verse 31, you will conceive, and you're going to give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. And he's going to be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. You see, now in these verses, the focus switches off of Mary, and it goes on to Jesus. Mary, you will bring this one into the world, the Savior of the world, and he will be great. I mean, there was no making a mistake here. What's about ready to happen is going to be unbelievable. No one in the world will have more influence than the Son you will bring into the world. And I don't need your abilities, Mary. I need your availability to be used by me for my glory. And I think Mary's response in verse 34 would be just like many of you women that are here today. You'd begin to maybe ask some questions. And she goes, well, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, well, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Think about it. What the angel was saying to Mary wasn't going to be hard. It was actually going to be impossible. It would have been impossible unless the Holy Spirit came upon her and the power of God then overshadowed her. She was a virgin, now she's having a baby, and not just a baby, the Savior of the world. Impossible, but not with God. See, this teenage girl was called to carry the living God into the world. And listen up, moms, so are you. God wants to get what he has put in you, what he has created you to be and do. He wants that to come forth out of you so the world might know him. Moms, your calling today as a mom is to carry the living God into the kids you carried into the world. Let me say that again. Your calling as a mom is to carry the living God into the kids you carried into this world. And this morning, I can't really speak to that, because I'm not a mom. But I am going to invite my wife, the mother of our three children, Maddie, to come up and to kind of share with us a little bit about what it means to carry that weight as a mom, but to carry the very presence of God with her. Now, last night, Maddie came and spoke with me, and we had, you can come on up, keep coming. Give her a hand. Maddie loves this, so she's very excited about this morning. But last night she came and spoke, and then we had 40 people at our house for a graduation party, so she spoke, and then she left and went back to the party, and here she is again today, and she's smiling, and it's great, and so I'm going to ask you a few questions. Are you excited?
Sure.
Yeah, can't wait.
Good morning.
So tell us, Maddie, what is the greatest gift you as a mom can give to your children and the gift you gave to our children?
Well, I mean, the greatest gift I can give them, of course, is Jesus, but I can't actually give them that. Salvation and sanctification and spiritual understanding, they're all given by the Holy Spirit. So the biggest gift I can give my kids is to help them understand their need for Jesus. Well, we first do that by our example, you know, letting them know that we also need Jesus. But the second way we can do it is by letting God teach them through lessons and through challenges and not save them in everything, but from an early age, point out that it's Jesus who they need, who can give them what they need in every circumstance. So when Nolan was about two, he was a little fellow at the top of the stairs, and he was supposed to be taking a nap. But and he was I could tell he was completely conflicted because he wanted to go left, which was to my room where Baby Mozart was. Does anyone know what Baby Mozart is?
Used to watch that on the VCR,
yes,
right?
On the VCR. Yeah. And he figured out how to start it. And, you know, he loved that. And but he was there. He knew that if he went to his room and continued to take the nap, that things would go well for him. And that if he went into my room and watched Baby Mozart, that there would be consequences. So, and you know, nothing has ever changed, but I got to explain to that little two-year-old that sometimes you need help to do the right thing. And nothing's ever changed since then. You know, I didn't plan to go to college with him, so I knew at some point he didn't need me to be the Holy Spirit. He needed the actual Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. So it was kind of a process.
Yeah, well, as we say, you just can't read about it. You actually have to live it out. So kind of where did that start for you as you want to help them find their place and also help them understand their need? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, I think it's just you trying to live out the authentic Christian life yourself. I mean, kids quickly suss out a fake, right? If you're not the same person at church that you are at home and all these different places that, you know, you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be, you know, seeking Jesus. And I have 3 points for this, Matthew.
Oh,
so,
3 points.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the first
one. We only have a few minutes.
Okay,
you know.
They're not that long. The first one is to stare at God and His Word. Stare at God and glance at your life. Don't stare at your life and glance at God.
Say that again, Maddie. That was really good.
Okay. So stare at God's Word and glance at your life. Don't stare at your life and glance at God. The most life-changing practice in my life has been daily abiding with God in His Word and in prayer in every season, even when the kids were little. I feel completely unanchored without it. So start each day with it. Give God the first fruits of your day, because God's Word is alive and it's active and the Holy Spirit speaks to you through it. When you make space for God, He is always faithful to fill it. He'll fill those empty places. He'll make you sure-footed and whole. And you know, God gave us the Bible, and this is a quote, but I don't know who by, but it was someone good. And they said, this is the Bible, His instruction manual on how to operate this human for best performance, wholeness, and productivity. You know, everyone wants wisdom when you parent, and that's where it's found, but you have to open it, you have to read it. Yeah. The second point was to look for examples. So, you know, the abiding life produces fruit. So who are kids that you want your kids to grow up to be like? You know, when Matthew and I were, when we had kids, we didn't know what we were doing. And we weren't completely sure that our parents knew what they were doing either. So we looked around for couples who had kids that seemed to be just whole and secure and pursuing God. And we asked them questions. We spent time with them. We listened. We watched. We learned. We studied. And, you know, Matthew and I discussed this recently, that we think it's odd that our kids, they're pretty good. But one ever asks us, you know, how we raise them.
They haven't. Let me interject. That's funny, and then it's kind of sad. I mean, you got people around you, not that you want to come ask us, but hey, younger people in the room, ask. Get outside your parents and ask, because there's people that have modeled, and when you see it, figure out what it is. Okay, back to your second point, sorry.
I'm not done yet with the second point. You know, I learned so much from the women in this church, from the spiritual moms that God gave me. Just examples of authentic Christ followers. And, you know, God gave me Jill Shirk about 30 years ago, and she's passed away now. But she always told me the truth, and she always pointed me to Jesus for everything. She lived in dependence on Him, and she taught me, or she taught us to do the same, and then we taught our kids. That's discipleship, right? So seek people out that you want to emulate. And then the third thing is to search out your ministry. You know, God created every single one of us for purpose. He gifted you for ministry to be an active contributing part of the body of Christ, the church. So Spurgeon said, we should select not that which tickles the ears most, but that which enlivens the heart. And when you live out your calling, it enlivens your heart. And that's the revived, abiding life that we're all craving. It's not found in getting, it's found in giving. It's found when you live your life on purpose, serving God.
Yeah, and as we talk about that, there's going to be a picture that comes up on the screen of our family. When this was the first or second weekend we moved into this building in 2006. And I show that now because I have one in graduate school, one graduated, and one's going to be a junior at Baylor. And Maddie and I have talked. It was like that. I mean, it was gone. And so we started thinking, what is one piece of wisdom that you can pass on, especially to young moms and dads today, that might help them or anyone else in the room?
Yeah. Well, I just think if you're sitting there and you think, well, it's too late for me, I messed up, I did it wrong, that it's never too late, just go and apologize. If your kids are young, just say, I'm sorry, I haven't been doing it right. Things are changing. Because, you know, God's in the business of putting together broken things. So if there's something broken in your family, it's not too late to fix it. Right. You're right where God wants you to be in changing how you're doing things. Yeah. So I would just encourage you to do that, because it does go by fast. But your apology to your kids, say I messed up, is everything, you know. They're just looking for you to be authentic too before God. And then I would just say, live according to the instruction manual, because you love your kids too much not to give them the best. And of course, wisdom comes from God's word. So I would point to that. Psalm 119, verses 7 through 11, they say it. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever, and the laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They're more desirable than gold, even the finest gold, and they're sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. So if you want to be revived, if you want to be wise in your parenting, if you want joy in your homes, if you want insight for living, it's found in God's word. And it's better than anything. It's better than the finest gold. It's sweeter than the honey. It's better than anything the world has to offer. And of course, it's a great reward for those who obey it, both for you and both for your and also for your children.
And as Maddie says that, I can look in her Bible and it is marked up everywhere, but she just doesn't read it. She lives it. That's why our kids are the way they are. That's why we've been blessed in our family. So thank you for being a great mom, and we love you. She's pretty great. Here's what Melody said at the beginning as I wrap things up today. I didn't become a mom the way I envisioned, the way I wanted it to happen. I became a mom the way God intended it to be. Ladies, you didn't have much choice on your kids. You didn't know who they were going to be or what gifts or talents they had or really what God was giving you. But once they came, I can tell you as a father, there was nothing that was going to stop me from ever loving those kids. And maybe it wasn't what you thought it was going to be, but as Marty said, it's never too late. So what do I want to say to you today? Well, there were some things that Mary did. And I think there's some things that could be great example for all of us, everyone in the room, moms, dads, those who aren't parents yet. First thing, Mary listened and she asked questions. She listened and she asked questions. The angel comes and the angel speaks. And then as she was listening, she began to ask questions. Here's what I believe. So many times, we want to tell God our agenda or tell him our prayer requests, and God is actually wanting us to come and just listen. I want to just tell you, if you have the Bible and a pen and a notebook pad, and you just read God's word and you just say, God, would you speak to me? I just want to promise you, God will begin to speak to you. And it'll come through his words, and there'll be things that come, and I've never heard his audible voice, but I can tell you this, man, the things that I have written down in a journal and the things that I have seen God and the prayers that he has answered have come in the times that I was willing just to stop and to listen. A sign of maturity is that you don't have an agenda with God except that you want him to give you more of him so that you can reflect him in greater ways. Maturity isn't always asking and giving your agenda. Maturity is listening and receiving and then being obedient. After Mary had listened and she asked her questions, then here is what the angel said. Luke 1 verse 37, and it's for all of us today. For no word from God will ever fail. You can take it to the bank, Mary. No word's going to ever fail, and it's not failing in this situation or circumstance. And once the angel said that, Mary's response was beautiful in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Listen and ask questions. The second thing is this: understanding follows obedience. We would love it if we had understanding and then we could choose to be obedient. That's not faith. Faith is this: God's called me, he's equipped me, I don't understand it, I don't get it, but I'm going to step out in faith. I'm not sure when understanding came to Mary. Some of us won't get understanding in our lives till maybe the other side of eternity. But understanding follows obedience. And I've seen it in my life over and over again. Elizabeth Elliot says it this way: the secret of joy is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. See, the circumstances aren't your problem. God's in those. What he's looking for you to do is be obedient and available and faithful and not looking to change everything that's around you, because he's actually maybe wanting to change you. And understanding comes later, but he's asking for obedience first. See, Mary was just obedient to God's word. And when you do what God says through his word, then you'll begin to walk in faithfulness to your God. Third thing is this: faithfulness is just doing what God says. It's just doing what God says. And then when you begin to do what God says, you will be walking in obedience to God. I would love for you, every one of you in the room, I'm going to put up just three verses and four statements that were made. They were made to Mary, but they're made for all of you. And here's what I want you to do. In the blank space, I'd love for you just to put your name in there, whatever your name is this morning. But the first one is this, just to remind you, greetings, whatever your name is, Lois, Linda, Sarah, Maddie, greetings, you are highly favored. Put your name in this one at the very beginning. I have to remind myself all the time, Matthew, the Lord is with you. Howard and Jody, And Diane, Greg, the Lord is with you. Hey, listen up. Do not be afraid, Pat. Don't be afraid, Susie. You found favor with God. For Jeff and Bob and Bruce, no word from the Lord will ever fail. You can take it to the bank. You can trust it. Our family this last weekend, we went to the Church of the City where Christy McCullen is teaching pastor. If you remember, we had her speak here in January. She was so good, and she was teaching last Sunday. And she began to talk about what happened to the Jewish home as they prepared for the Sabbath. In the Jewish culture, the Sabbath began Friday night at sundown. And at sundown, they would light two candles. These two candles were called the Shabbat candles. And Shabbat simply means rest. But in Hebrew terms, it was he rested. Creation was 6 days, and on the seventh day, it said that God rest. So the two Shabbat candles simply meant that there was to be rest in the home. So they lit these two Sabbath candles, one in observance of Exodus 21 and the other one in Deuteronomy 5, where it says that the Sabbath cannot begin until these candles are lit. And it's interesting that in all of Judaism, there is only one member of the family who is given the honor of lighting the Shabbat candles, welcoming the Sabbath into the home. And it's the mother. See, the mother is the member of the family with the honor and the responsibility of lighting the Shabbat candles and bringing the Sabbath in like a bride. And I want you to understand something today, that Jesus grew up watching his mother Mary light the Shabbat candles every Friday night in the home. And at sundown, Mary would welcome in the light of the Sabbath, which represented a ceasing of all things and a trusting in only one thing, the God of the universe, the creator of all things. They were to remember in those moments God's work and that he is the one that brings light into darkness. And the rabbis were asked, well, why? Why is it the woman that gets to bring in the honor of lighting the Shabbat candles? And the rabbi responded this, because they are the ones that bring the light and the warmth into the home and into the world. It takes a woman to start the Sabbath. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up, and I'm going to ask her in this moment, if she would just light these two candles. And as Madi lights these candles, I'm going to ask for every lady in the room now, if you would stand to your feet, whether you're a mom, whether you're not a mom, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you want to be a mom, go ahead, it's okay. One of you's got to start. Just the moms in the room and all the ladies. And ladies here, I want you to stand because I want you to feel the invitation from the one who calls you highly favored this morning. He is reminding you today that no matter where you are or what circumstances or storms surround you, that he is with you. He is inviting all of you ladies today to leave your worries and your fears at his feet. As he speaks these words he spoke over Mary, do not be afraid. For I am with you, and you have favor in my sight. I want you to understand this morning that the Most High God invites you to fully trust in him, because he has reminded you today that no word from his mouth will ever fail, and you are safe, and you are whole in his eyes. And he's looking for you today to say back to him, I am your servant. May your words be fulfilled in me today. So all ladies in the room, may you today experience the deep shalom, that deep abiding presence and peace that only comes from your heavenly Father. And may you know beyond a shadow of a doubt when you leave this place that you are highly favored in the eyes of your God and your Savior. And today, may you just find rest in him. Men, I would ask you to stand as well at this time. And if there is someone with you That is a lady. It is your mom or your wife or a lady you know you came with or someone you feel comfortable with. If you would just put your hand on their shoulder right now or maybe your arm around them, because I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing over them. Would you bow your heads with me? To all the moms in the room, to all the grandmas, we honor you. To the stepmoms, the adopted moms, the spiritual moms, and those waiting and wanting to be moms, we just want to tell you, you are loved. For all you do, we thank you. We honor and bless you. To all of you who brought your first child into this world this year, we celebrate you. For the late and sleepless nights, we thank you for your patience. To those who are foster moms or mentor moms or spiritual moms, we need you. And we just say we value your commitment and your love and care to your children. To those who step-parent, may God provide you with strength and wisdom. To those of you who have lost a child, in the womb or outside the womb, we mourn with you. May God give you peace. To those who had a pregnancy end, we grieve with you, and we come alongside of you today. To those who walk the hard path of infertility fraught with tears and disappointment, may God be with you. And to those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate you. And to everyone in this room, God, we say thank you. That if we have made a decision by faith to accept your son, Jesus Christ, we are highly favored in your eyes. And I pray this morning, God, that as we stood and as we honored one another, you were honored. Thank you for the promises of your word that we are highly favored, that nothing comes from your mouth that will ever fail. Thank you that we can trust in you and we don't have to be afraid this morning. Thank you that we can surrender everything to you. And thank you for the blessings you pour out, not just for us, but for the generation after generation that come. May we be faithful to you. May you be honored and lifted up. And may our mothers today feel honored. But most of all, may they feel loved and embraced by you, their Heavenly Father. So God, we sing unto you and we worship you as we close this service, and we say thank you for the blessings that you give to every single one of us. It is in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen.